Also, Sioux Front appears leader says lot violence and piety are two essential features of any Iranian presidential candidate. Iranians condemn desecration of holy sites by foreign-backed militants in Syria. Protesters in Indian Kashmir stage rally against U.S. and the Zionist regime's interference in Syria. Iran's oil minister says U.S.-led sanctions have made Iran an oil industry equipment exporter. And Russian president says any peace settlement in Syria should focus on preserving Syria as an integral and sovereign state. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Nima Chitsos. Tehran's substitute Fratapur's leader says law abidance and piety are two essential features of any Iranian president, warning hopefuls against ruining the Islamic establishment's clean image in a bid to garner more votes. Addressing worshippers of Jatul Islam, Sayyid Ahmad Khatami said, the future president must be pious and law abiding, and people would vote for a president who meets these qualifications. He called on Iranian hopefuls to adhere to the tenets of the country's Islamic establishment, noting that the constitution and velayat-e-faqih, or the rule of Muslim jurisprudence, are two principles accepted by the nation, and that the candidates should not question them. The cleric also admonished hopefuls against unfair and untrue criticism of the status quo in their campaigns with the aim of winning more ballots, and warned that taking sides with foreign powers would earn them nothing but contempt from the nation. The cleric also called for high voter turnout in the upcoming elections and censured the enemy's persistent attempts to mar the democratic process in the Islamic Republic. Tens of thousands of Iranians have come together across the nation to condemn the desecration of the tomb of Hujar ibn Adi, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by foreign-backed militants in Syria. After Friday prayers in Tehran and other cities, Iranians took to the streets to urge international organizations to protect holy sites in Syria. Iranian students earlier gathered in front of the United Nations office in Tehran to protest the desecration of the holy site. Iran's foreign ministry also sent separate letters to the UN, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the UNESCO, urging them to slam the move and come up with legislation on international level to end blasphemy. Syrian armed groups exhumed Hujar ibn Adi's tomb on May the 2nd and reportedly took his body to an unknown location. The shocking news triggered angry protests by Muslims across the world. Thousands of Egyptians protested outside Al-Azhar Mosque in Cairo on Friday against the Zionist regime's aggressions against Al-Aqsa Mosque in Al-Quds. The protesters also condemned the recent Zionist regime's airstrikes on Syria. Protesters raised signs and chanted statements against the Zionist regime. They said the Egyptian government should realize that the actions of people are much stronger than political calculations. The protesters also stressed that Islamic issues will remain in their hearts. The protest was led by Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party. Backed by Zionist regime forces, some hundreds of Zionist extremist settlers entered Al-Aqsa Mosque on Tuesday. Clashes erupted between the settlers and the Palestinians following the entry of Zionist extremists. Several Palestinians were reportedly injured and several others were arrested. Protesters in the Indian-administered Kashmir staged a rally in Srinagar on Friday, condemning the U.S. and the Zionist regime's interference in Syria. Angry protesters burned the effigies of U.S. President Barack Obama and Zionist Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and chanted anti-U.S. and Zionist slogans. Protesters also condemned the desecration of the grave of an Islamic figure in Syria.
American and Israeli intelligence agencies in the past sown sectarian seeds among Muslims in Iraq, Somalia and Afghanistan. Now they are targeting Syria with the same tactics.
Because they are the puppets of America and Israel. They are playing the roles for the America and Israel. We strongly condemn the movement that they are playing against the holy shrines. This time it was the holy shrine of companion of prophet. Next it will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we believe that these peoples are playing for the Islam?
And now a recap of our top stories. Tehran substitute Friday prayer's leader says law abidance and piety are two essential features of any Iranian presidential candidate. Iranians condemn desecration of holy sites by foreign-backed militants in Syria. Protesters in Indian Kashmir stage rally against U.S. and the Zionist regime's interference in Syria. Iran's oil minister says U.S.-led sanctions have made Iran an oil industry equipment exporter. And Russian president says any peace settlement in Syria should focus on preserving Syria as an integral and sovereign state. The Iranian oil minister says the U.S.-led sanctions have turned Iran into an oil industry equipment exporter. Addressing Qom Friday prayers, Rustam Ghassani said the illegal sanctions have also resulted in development of Iran oil industry and fulfillment of domestic needs. He said, before imposing sanctions, more than 80% of oil development equipment were imported from Western countries, and now we are able to meet our domestic needs and even to export the goods. He said, Iran has started to commission so many petrochemical plants, and by putting the plants into operation, the country would be among exporters of petrochemical products and polymer equipment in international arena. Referring to the Iranian New Year budget, the oil minister said, the country is less reliant on oil revenue for this New Year budget, adding that incomes from non-oil exports will be replaced by oil sales. Twin bomb attacks have claimed at least three lives in Pakistan's northwestern tribal region of North Waziristan only a day before the country's landmark general elections. The deadly bomb attacks targeted the offices of candidates and the main town of Amiran Shah on Friday. At least 15 people were injured in the fatal explosions. No person or a group has claimed responsibility for the attacks. The bombings come a day after heavily armed gunmen abducted Ali Haydar Gilani, the son of the former Prime Minister Syed Rezaf Reza Gilani, at an election rally in central Pakistan on Thursday. Pro-Taliban militants have threatened to march Saturday's elections, which are already being referred to as Pakistan's bloodiest. More than 130 people have been killed in attacks on party workers and candidates since the beginning of April. Syrian security troops have advanced throughout the area through the western, the western city of Qusair, which fell to the hands of the militants more than a year ago. The siege around Qusair, near Homs city, is tightened by nearly 95%, and the operation to clear the region from armed terrorist groups will be launched within the next few days. Qusair is surrounded by government forces on three sides, and that approximately 25,000 residents are believed to still be in the city. The area has been a strategic stronghold to the militant groups, who used it as a base from which blocking the main road from Damascus to the coast, impeding military movement and supply chains. It is also important because of its proximity to Lebanon. Russian President Vladimir Putin said, any peace settlement in Syria should focus on preserving Syria as an integral and sovereign state. Putin made the remark in a meeting with British Prime Minister David Cameron.
We have a common interest in putting an immediate end to violence in the country and launching the peace settlement, preserving Syria as an integral and sovereign state.
Thousands of supporters of Bahrain's opposition demonstrated near Manama on Friday to protest against the torture of jailed opponents. Gathered around the village of Adaya, the demonstrators waved Bahrain's national flag and held up signs that read, Manama, capital of torture. The main Shiite opposition bloc, Al-Wefaq, said a tug of war is underway in Bahrain between a political majority demanding a democratic transition and a hardcore dictatorship that refuses any change. Finance ministers from G7 countries and central bank governors began their two-day summit near London on Friday to discuss ways of nurturing growth at a time of spending cuts. Leading the talks, British Chancellor George Osborne is keen for his peers to focus on what more central banks can do to boost growth at a time when most governments are trying to cut spending and raise taxes. The talks are also likely to focus on bank regulation, tax evasion and free trade. Debate is also heating up about the need to ease up on austerity, something that Germany, Britain and Canada view as a mistake, but Washington, Paris and Rome are in favor of. One group of people who are, by the way, severely opposed austerity measures are the Greek people, who have been suffering for a long time in the tough economic times.
Currently in the midst of a protracted economic crisis deeply rooted in the structural deficiencies of the Eurozone foundations and catalyzed by a soaring sovereign debt crisis, the international community now seems to shift its attention and let loose on the Greek guinea pig. After consecutive bailouts and financial trenches disbursed by the so-called troika of international creditors, Greece is less so perceived as a dire threat to the European economic integrity. Yet, people still struggle silently in their own misery out of the public limelight, trying to make ends meet. An implicit effort to boost the image of Greece seems to be taking place, spurring what has been described by many as artificial and ill-founded optimism. After blunt wrongdoings and inaccurate estimates regarding the so-called fiscal multiplier, the latest Troika report suggests glimmers of good news. The Greek stock exchange market has skyrocketed to unheard-of levels, and the country has closed two-thirds of its competitiveness gap after it joined the euro. Last but not least, the Greek finance minister announcing a return to the markets in 2014 has been described as icing on the cake. Yet, the situation on the ground runs counter to most official projections. True, the primary fiscal balance and the current account has improved by 10% of national output and banks are slowly getting recapitalized, yet output has dropped more than 20% and suicides have exceeded 2,000 over the past 2 years. If there is a bright side to the economic storm Greece is going through, it's that the country has many opportunities for growth, including tourism, exports and services. But without a deeper political overhaul, including curbing tax evasion and tackling corruption and political cronyism, the untapped potential of the country will simply remain untapped. The current economic woes of Greeks must be blamed not only on the excessively fast and horizontal cuts, but also on the conscious choice of most governments to keep protecting the already privileged while failing to pass the financial burden onto the right shoulders. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of Live Rye and English News. Join us tomorrow night with the latest updates. Goodbye now.